Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
Hi everybody, my name is Kevin McPeak and I'm one of the pastors in our church network. I am thrilled to be with you today. You may not realize it, but we're actually sharing this message with both Imperial Beach Church and the church in Playas de Tijuana. So both hello and hola, that's the extent of my Spanish. I'm so glad that I'm getting to share this with you today, even if it's online. And I do want to say, like, I miss seeing all of you. And you might be new to the church, and you might be going like, how can you miss me? You've never even seen me before. Let me explain a little bit. One of the things that I really love about my role in our church network is I get to visit a lot of our different church locations, which is super fun for me. And I really love both Imperial Beach and Playas. Let me explain why. Not just because they're super cool churches, but in Imperial Beach, that's actually an area where I go running a lot. It's not that far from my house. And a lot of times I'll drive down to 13th Street where Trident Coffee is, and I'll get out and I'll run, and I go down to Seacoast Drive, and I run right by the hotel where we have services, and I go out to the pier. And so I just love being in Imperial Beach, so I miss being down there and hanging out. And Playas, I'm going to be honest, I really like the food. I love to go to Taco Nazo after service if I play my cards right with Pastor Fito and Cindy. Sometimes they'll take me to Lionfish, which is like one of my favorite places to eat. So I miss that. I miss being at the churches, but I also miss like the great things about those areas. And if we've never met before, you now know at least two things about me. I like to run and I like to eat. And you are correct that those things are related. I like to run because I like to eat. So it all fits together. And one of the things that really bums me out about the season we're in right now is I kind of can't do some of those things. I can't go and run in some of my favorite parts of San Diego, and I can't eat in some of the places that I really like. So I've been kind of discouraged. But luckily this week, I was able to get some good news that was kind of cool. And I want to share some of that good news with you. And here's the good news. Easter was last week. Some of you are going, that's not news. I knew that. And if you didn't, hey, newsflash, Easter was last week. But here's the thing. We had an amazing weekend of our services all across our network. And I want to give you some info from that because I think it's really cool. We had a very different Easter this year. Last year, 2019, which by the way, does anybody even remember last year? Remember like when you could go places and see people and do stuff? It feels like forever ago, but last year, 2019, we had so many like live services, gatherings of people across all of our church locations, and we had 13,828 people join us for last year's services, which was amazing. This year, we didn't have any in-person gatherings because we can't, and we only had gatherings online, but this year we had 16,404 people join us for Easter services. That's incredible. And the reason we had so many more is because all of you did such a great job inviting your friends and sending out invites and sharing the online service. So way to go. Thank you for doing that. Keep doing that. And one of the really cool things is that as of last night, we had 51 people make first-time decisions to follow Jesus over the Easter services. So a lot of really cool stuff happening. Now, I'm really, really proud of and grateful for our church right now. We're facing obviously a lot of adversity, and we've made a lot of changes to our methods and what we do and how we do it, but our mission and our message, they're the same. They haven't changed. Who we are and what we're all about, it's what it's always been. We are people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what our mission is. That's who we are. And I would say that you are all doing a great job of being that church. So way to go and keep doing it. And all of that is really what plays into why I'm so excited about starting our new series this weekend called 23, The Greatest of All Time. It's a reminder for all of us that in the middle of all this, God is with us. Now, of all the passages of Scripture that have brought people comfort when they've been going through difficulties, hard times, and all that, I would argue that Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known and well-regarded of all the scriptures that encourage people in those times. In other words, you could make a case that for people going through hard times, Psalm 23 is the greatest of all time. In other words, it's the GOAT. Now, some of you may not be familiar with that, so you just think I insulted Scripture. GOAT, G-O-A-T, stands for greatest of all time. So it's actually a compliment to call Psalm 23 the GOAT. So, now, you might be watching this and going, okay, he's starting to talk Scripture stuff, and I don't really know the Bible, and is this going to get awkward? No, first of all, I'm so glad that you're watching this. I'm so glad you're a part of this. Let me explain a little bit so you know what this is. Even if you're going, I don't even know what a psalm is. I think I have a psalm tree in my yard. That's a palm tree. Sounds similar, very different thing. Okay, there are no psalm trees, not that I know of. And that's not in my notes. It just popped in my head. So here's the thing. Psalms, the book of Psalms, it's in the Old Testament. And it's really a collection of worship song lyrics. That's probably the simplest way to look at it, is that these are the lyrics of songs of worship to God. And they were written down, and they've really been encouraging to people for thousands of years. In Psalm 23, even if you go, I don't think I'm familiar with that, I bet you've heard at least parts of it before, because it's so commonly referenced and spoken by people. Here's the whole thing, all six verses. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, what we're going to do is we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about this psalm. And I want to give you the big idea of this psalm and this series right up front. Here it is. The big idea is this. This psalm is all about living a with God life. The central theme of Psalm 23 is the presence of God, this idea that God is with us. And because God is with us, we can lack nothing. We can have rest, and our souls can be refreshed. Now, because God is with me and my life is guided down this path with Him, I can have no fear. I can find comfort. I can forgive my enemies. And because of who is with me, I can know that my life is blessed and I have more than enough. Because of who is with me, I can even know that when this body wears out and life is taken from me, I can live with God forever simply because of who is with me. Now today, what we're going to do is we're going to dive in deep simply on the first verse, because there's a lot to cover. It sets the stage for everything that follows. And the first verse simply says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Now I want to start with the very first three words. Okay, it says this: "The Lord is." Now, notice if you're looking on the outline of it. By the way, if you're using the Eastlake Church app, awesome, the outline is there. If you're not using the Eastlake Church app, download it right now because it's super helpful. But you'll notice as you look at that outline, the word Lord is in all capital letters. That's not a typo. It's actually like that in the Bible for a reason. Anytime you see the word Lord in all caps, it's referring to a specific name for God. It's viewed as God's holiest, highest name, the most revered name for God in all of the Hebrew language. It's the name Lord, meaning Yahweh. And this name was so revered by the Jewish people that it wasn't even to be spoken out loud. Think about that. God's name was so holy that it wasn't to be said. Like, you just didn't let that word come out because it would be viewed as disrespectful to God to even speak His name. Another way of understanding sort of the concept of this name used for God is it encapsulates this notion of God is the almighty, self-sufficient, eternal being. If you've ever heard of God being referred to as the great I am, which is a phrase that comes out of Scripture, it's connected to this idea of God being almighty, self-sufficient, and eternal. God's not limited or bound by time. See, all of this is in this one word. And if I were to describe myself, okay, I could say things like, describing me, I'm married, I'm left-handed, I am a long-suffering fan of the Miami Dolphins. Okay, all of these things are true about me. But God can simply be described, without all of those qualifications, God can simply be described as I am, which is a unique description applied to God. Because God alone simply is. So you and I and everybody else, we're constantly in a state of becoming and changing. But God simply is. He exists beyond and above and outside all of the constraints of time. It's really hard for us to even imagine this. So when we see Lord in all capital letters, it's incorporating all of this meaning and all of this sense of the word. And it's this divine name for God that's used actually most in the Old Testament. It's the most common name that you will see is this notion of the all capital letters name of God. So that's what's being said in this very first, these very first three words. And so Psalm 23 begins by referring to God this way, essentially letting you know, hey, it's time for us to right size our idea of who God is. See, one of the things that I sincerely believe is that what we often do is we have a concept of God that simply isn't big enough. We underestimate God all the time. And so that begs a question that each of us have to consider, which is this: how do I see God? And why is our view of God so important? Well, because everything about our lives, our attitudes, motives, desires, actions, even our words, they're influenced by our view of God. And often what we want to do is we want to create a notion of God that's custom fitted to match our view of the world instead of standing back and letting God be God. The writer Anne Lamott puts it this way: you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people that you do. See, very often, our view of God and our ideas of what God is like, they're simply not true. And those mistaken views keep us from a relationship with Him. And maybe that's part of your story. You stayed away from God for a long time, or you were mad at God for a long time because of things you attributed to God that simply aren't true. Let me give you a couple of mistaken views of God that all of us can have. Have you ever thought of God along any of these ways? The first is this: that God is sort of a disappointed parent. In this mistaken view, we think that, oh, God's never happy with me. What I do, it's never enough. So why even try, right? Why bother to play the game? I'm never going to measure up. That's a mistaken view of God. Another mistaken view is that God is some sort of cruel chess player, right? We're all just pawns in God's game, and he's a heartless manipulator just toying with our lives and playing with our circumstances. Another mistaken view of God is that he's sort of an absent father. In this view, we think, well, he created us, but he's kind of checked out. He's kind of uninvolved. He could help if he wanted, but obviously he doesn't want to because he's nowhere to be found. And the last mistaken view of God that a lot of us have is that God's this impersonal cosmic force, right? That there's an eternal being out there, an energy that maybe created all of us, but it's not like someone to know and to love. It's kind of like God is like the Force in Star Wars, right? It's this power that's vaguely present, but it's not personal in any meaningful way. And what happens is a lot of us believe that. Have you ever believed any of those sorts of versions and descriptions of God? And here's the truth. The enemy of your soul would love for you to believe some of those things and to have a wrong notion of who God is, instead of grasping this powerful, eternal notion of who God truly is. Now, what happens next in this passage of Scripture is really interesting. So we have all this notion of power, and then it turns out that it describes God in a very interesting way. It says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So the Lord is not only the almighty, sovereign, and all-powerful God, but he's also a caring shepherd, a protector, a guide, a provider. This is the metaphor that the whole psalm rests on. Now, for those of you who have forgotten English class, or it's been a while since English class, a metaphor, just to remind you, is just a thing that draws a comparison between two things. That this has something in common with this, and it's a metaphor. Because some of you, I understand, you're like, I thought metaphors were like those things that like shoot across the sky at night. Those are meteors, not metaphors. Okay, nobody goes outside at night to watch a metaphor shower. It's not a thing. Now, when Scripture says that the Lord is a shepherd, it's not saying that God is literally a shepherd who walks around with a walking stick chasing down livestock. Okay, it is a metaphor saying that God has the characteristics of a shepherd. In other words, he does the sorts of things that a shepherd would do. Now, this description, this metaphor, it's actually picked up again in the New Testament by Jesus himself. In John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself using these words. He says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock." Now, there's a lot happening here. First of all, Jesus, what he's doing is he's drawing a very clear line between the well-known words of Psalm 23 that refer to the Lord as a shepherd and himself. Now, if you're new to the Bible, the book of Psalms was written long before Jesus' birth. Okay, Psalm 23 is generally understood to have been written by King David. He's one of the key figures in all of the Old Testament. And just about every Jewish listener of Jesus' time would have been familiar with these words of Psalm 23 that David had written. And so for Jesus to describe himself using the good shepherd, he's pointing to Psalm 23 and saying, "I'm that same shepherd." And here's the thing about shepherds. We don't think about this because so many of us live in a culture where there aren't livestock around, but what shepherds do is they protect the sheep. There are many predators that seek to attack sheep because, well, among other things, sheep are not known for their speed. They're kind of easy to catch, right? When we describe someone as fast, we very rarely will compare them to a sheep, right? If you watch sprinters in the Olympics, you might go like, "Wow, look at, they're flying down the track like cheetahs." Not cheaters, cheetahs, right? Because cheetahs are fast. But nobody ever said, "Man, that Usain Bolt, did you see him run? He was running like a sheep." No one has ever said that. Sheep are fairly slow and easy for predators to catch. They're easy picking, so they need protection. I mean, have you ever looked at a sheep? This is not an intimidating animal. How exactly is that thing going to fight off a predator? Okay, now, there are actually kinds of sheep that are tougher than that. In the wild, there are bighorn sheep. And you will see this. And they're actually, the males are known as rams. And you see on the screen right now, that guy has some horns and he can do some damage. There's a reason that a team will be referred to as the Rams, right? Because there's some force there. There's a certain toughness. But I've never heard of a team like, the new football team, the LA Sheep, right? It's not an intimidating animal. Nobody's going to name their football team after that. Sheep get attacked by predators, especially wolves. And when they're attacked, they need protection on the part of the shepherd. That's part of the role of being a shepherd. He needs to step in and run off the attackers. But the problem for you and me is we choose shepherds for ourselves, but we choose the wrong ones. We expect things to protect us that aren't going to protect us. We wind up with these false shepherds who are a lot like the hired hands that Jesus referred to in his scripture. They kind of look like they could protect us, but when push comes to shove, they don't have a vested interest and they don't have anything to really offer us. And some of these false shepherds are things like money, because we think that we can get some security to protect us, or our career. Our career is going to protect us when things get tough, and I think so many of us are discovering right now how false that is. Our self-image is another one of these false shepherds. We can create a construct for ourselves that will protect the way we view ourselves or our social life. And right now, no one has a social life. If you have a social life, you're literally breaking the law. Think about that. And right now, we're all seeing how fragile that is as a protector of us. And the last is busyness. Not business, but busyness. Being busy, being occupied all the time. See, all of these things, we think they'll protect us, but they won't. And I know I went through those quickly, but we can leave them up on the screen for a little bit so you can write those down in the outline that's on the app. But here's the thing. Those false shepherds, when the wolves come, all of those false shepherds, those hired hands, they scatter. And they don't protect us. Protecting us is what a real shepherd does. So it begs the question, Is the Lord my shepherd? Have I made that decision? See, it's interesting that the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, instead of, we are the Lord's sheep. See, the choosing actually rests on us to choose him as our shepherd. See, he's already chosen us as his sheep. It's up to us to choose to reflect that back to him, to put us under his authority and care. So, how can we know if God is our shepherd? See, even if we recognize, okay, he is the shepherd, but how do we know that we've made him our shepherd? Well, Jesus actually answers that question in John chapter 10. He says this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So Jesus just lines out three conditions of being a sheep in his flock. I listen to his voice. He knows me. I follow him. If you're doing all of those three things with all of your heart and mind and soul, you know what? He's your shepherd. That's how you know. And it's really important to sort out whether or not you've made him your shepherd because of the next part of the verse. It says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now let me be clear about that phrase, I lack nothing. This isn't about lacking all the shiny objects on our wish list. It's not about that. It's about not lacking our basic needs. See, the promise of the Good Shepherd isn't to give us everything we want, but to supply what we need. I had a conversation with a really good friend of mine last week about how this experience that we're walking through right now of just kind of like in being under stay-at-home orders, it's been so refocusing for us. I can't speak for you, but I've found that I care a lot less about some things than I did even a few weeks ago. I just do. Right now, here's the truth. I care about my faith. I care about my family and my friends. I care about everybody being healthy. And I care about there being a roof over my family's head and food on the table. And the list of other distractions that I thought I cared about before, boy, they've kind of fallen off the list. And I've been reminded that God provides what I need. And a lot of the stuff I get distracted by, it's just stuff that I want, but it's not what I need. See, difficult times have a way of refocusing us on what really matters. See, the hidden blessing of difficult times is that they force us to recalibrate our priorities. Times like this can make us miserable because we can focus on everything we want but don't have, or they can make us grateful because we can focus on the things that we have that we need. See, God provided us all of these things that we need, but it's done with that promise that it's attached to us making him our shepherd. The late author and professor Dallas Willard wrote a great book. It's called A Life Without Lack. And in other words, it's describing this concept of living a life where God supplies our needs. He says this, the experience of a life without lack depends first and foremost upon the presence of God in our lives, because the source of this life is God himself. The Apostle Paul, or if you grew up Catholic like I did, you would know him as Saint Paul. He writes about this concept in a letter he sent to the Philippians. Now, if you're new to the church, new to the Bible, let me give you some context. Paul is a person who became a leader in the church shortly after Jesus' death and resurrection. And he wrote letters to churches in various cities, some of which he had recently visited, and he would sort of clarify Christian teaching for them. And he wound up in prison, actually several times he wound up in prison, but he wound up in prison for his efforts. But while he was in prison, he kept writing to the various churches. Now, Philippians was not written to the people of the Philippines, okay? It was actually written to the people in a city called Philippi, because Paul had visited them before. So if you have an auntie in Manila, I mean, it applies to her, but he was actually writing to a different place. So Philippi, not the Philippians. So Paul wrote this to them. Again, while he was in prison, he said this, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Paul, again, who is in prison, okay? He's encouraging them. He's saying, the same shepherd that you saw in Psalm 23, he's going to meet all of your needs and all of my needs, not according to our wish list of wants and desires, but according to what? The riches of his glory in Jesus. Now, there's something pretty convicting about somebody who's in prison writing to others to say, God's going to meet your needs. And I don't know where all of you are at right now in terms of your stress level or your emotional state or your sense of safety and security. For many of us, the season that we're in right now is incredibly stressful. It's as stressful as anything we've ever experienced. We're worried about our health and our families and our friends and our finances and our homes and our jobs. It's just like there's this unprecedented level of stress on so many of us right now. And feeling a real lasting sense that God's going to meet our needs, it might feel just almost impossible to grab a hold of that. And so in the middle of that, I want to give you a question to consider. Just for yourself, just ask yourself this question. It's this: who is my source? See, our deepest needs of comfort, of provision, of value and worth, of love and assurance, see, these needs will be met by our good shepherd if we're looking to him as our source. There's nothing magical about the words, "I lack nothing," in and of themselves. The power of the words are dependent on the words that precede them, which are this: the Lord is my shepherd. And what I want to do right now is I kind of want to ask you to stretch a little bit. I want to ask you to read the verse out loud. Wherever you are, just read it out loud. And listen, we're under stay-at-home orders, so you're not in front of strangers right now, okay? So I want you to join me in reading this. It's going to be right on the screen in front of you. And let's together read the words of Psalm 23, verse 1. Ready? Begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now, we're going to do that again, and I want you to really lean into each word and lean into the meaning of each word. Okay? Let's read it again. Ready? Begin. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Okay. Last time, and I want to invite you to make a decision. If you're reading this, you're saying, Jesus, I'm making you the good shepherd of my life. I'm choosing you as my shepherd, and I'm going to cling to the truth that in you I lack nothing. One last time, let's read it out loud. Ready, begin. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, if you made that decision to make Jesus the shepherd of your life, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to either text New Start to the number 67076, or you can send an email, and it's a different email depending on where you are. If you're at Imperial Beach, I want you to email newstart@imperialbeach.church, and if you're at Playas, you can email newstart@eastlake.church. And the reason you would do that is we've got some resources and encouragement we want to get to you as you begin this journey of following Jesus. And what we're going to do with the rest of our time together is we're going to close today with a blessing and a promise. So before we begin this song of blessing for you, let's pray together. Lord, we ask right now that we would commit ourselves to your leadership and your guidance as our shepherd. In the midst of whatever challenges we're facing, would you remind us that our hope comes from you? And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.